Kraken, welcome back. Having a good time here. As always, the show on the air is good. The show off the air is better. Can't wait until my last week in the business when I can say all the things on the air that I say off the air. You've got like multiple shows going on. There's the show that's on the air, which is pretty damn good. There's the show that's running simultaneously off the air that we're doing for ourselves, which is even better. And then there's a third show that you clones are doing on your own over there in the corner, which I don't really give a damn about. I mean, not that I don't give a damn about you. I just don't give a damn about that show because, frankly, I can't control it. You do your show, I'll do my show, and then somebody will say, good show, dude. See, Ritt, I knew you wouldn't be ready for that. Don't get cocky, old man. He's playing Alvin's board like it's a master piano, a grand piano. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I was talking about Tyler Hero last hour and the fact that he was born in the year 2000. Like, I can't believe we're talking about not only pro athletes, but star athletes on a big stage born in the year 2000. And I said one of the things I liked best about him is he's utterly fearless and born in the year 2000. Like Ritt. Ritt has to do the impossible. He has to follow Alvin DeLauro. Alvin DeLauro is like the best to ever do it. And Alvin takes Thursdays off to be at home with his family. I understand this. So Ritt steps right in there. And to his credit, and again, he has more confidence than he should have. An abnormally high amount of confidence given his actual game. But I got to give it to Ritt, man. Like Tyler Hero, fearless. Absolutely fearless. Tyler Hero is fearless and born in the year 2000. Garrett Ritt is fearless and born in the year 1900. I've never seen a guy that old, that brave. Ritt, you are something else, dude. Hats off to you. In fact, put a hat on it. Garrett Ritt, something else. All right, so in hour number two, telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Ritt is here. James Kelly is here in the front row. Adam Hawk's in the back row. And I'm in the studio. And your phone number is toll-free. Now, it's been about 24 hours since I first saw what I'm about to talk about right now. 24 hours out, and I still can't believe that I saw that. I can't believe that this happened. I mean, we all know this dude. We know this dude. We know his deal. We know his look. So right about now, nothing about this guy should surprise any of us. But this dude, I mean, it shocked me, damn near rattled me to my core. What am I talking about? The Hood, Bill Belichick, his look for his meeting with the press. You know what I'm talking about? That shirt he threw on with all the holes in it. Look, I know Bill Belichick is not exactly a clothes horse. I know that I'm never physically going to run into the Hood at David August showroom like I might, say, Conor McGregor, who David dresses, or Tommy Lasorda, who I actually did see in the showroom a number of months back. I'm not saying that. Hell, in general, with a few exceptions, NFL coaches are not exactly famous for their sharp looks. Tom Landry ain't walking through that door with a coat and a fedora. I wish he were. Man, Hawk wishes he was. Hawk tweets about that crap. Tom Landry is not walking through that door in his coat and a fedora. I wish he would. I wish somebody would. In fact, can you imagine a head coach rocking a fedora on the sideline today? Hell, not even a head coach, but the Cowboys coach. Let's keep this thing consistent. You imagine Mike McCarthy rolling in with a fedora over his headset. Big dude could pull that off. Hell, it would get all of us to look away from that train wreck on the field that he calls a football team. But I digress. No. NFL coaches generally do not look sharp on the sideline. You know, maybe back in the day when Mike Ditka went with that sweater. Or Mike Nolan. Remember Mike Nolan? Mike Nolan had a really good look. You know the old saying, look good, feel good, coach good, get paid good. No, I did not make that up. I am grammatically sound. I don't speak like that. I'm just quoting somebody else. In any event, NFL coaches do not dress that sharply. Except for the Hood. The Hood is in a totally different league. This is why he's glossed the hoodie. And dude really seems to revel in it. He seems to pride himself on being the worst dressed man in the world. He seems to pride himself on being the worst dressed man in the world. So if I'm talking about something he wore, you know how bad it must be. Like, why waste time on the obvious? You know, like, water is wet, dot, dot, dot. The sky is blue, dot, dot, dot. The hood looks like a bum, dot, dot, dot. Be a big waste of time. And again, the hell do I care about how somebody else dresses? It's a pointless exercise. Like, who really cares? Except those are the three words that Belichick must have said when he looked into the mirror before going to meet with the press. Who really cares? Because my man was not just wearing his typical sweatshirt. This was a sweatshirt with cut sleeves. I mean, of course, because Belichick is always inviting you to the gun show. But if he was also inviting you to a couple of other shows yesterday, and he was, he had that ripped neck. He had numerous holes. He had no undershirt underneath. I mean, if going commando is when you aren't rolling with undergarments, then my man was going upstairs commando. He was this close to giving the world a nip slip. And you know, nobody was rooting harder for that than Janet Jackson and Chael Jr. himself.
I don't even have big nipples. Like, let's be real.
Hey, whatever works for you, Chael. Whatever gets you through the night, Chael. Just keep telling yourself that, Chael. Anyway, Belichick's hair was all messed up. Looked like he'd just been in a brawl. Looked like he'd just been in a fight. A fight with fashion, and he got his ass kicked. Like if the High Sparrow from Game of Thrones suddenly landed an NFL head coaching gig, that's pretty much what that would look like. Belichick did not look like he was preparing for an NFL game. It looked like he was starting a cult or changing the oil on his car or both. I mean, did you see this guy yesterday? Does that look like the greatest NFL coach in league history? Does that look like a guy who's at the top of his game or a guy who's been living in the streets for the past 5 years? Like, I know he doesn't give a bleep about how he looks. And neither should anybody else, because all this guy does is get results. But at the same time, there's got to be some sort of standard, right? Some sort of standard, because he looks like he needs a wellness check. Because my man does not look right. Listen, I know that his perverted, wealthy boss has essentially given this guy complete autonomy to do whatever the hell he wants in running the Pats. But I mean, Bob Kraft is a dude who dresses it up. Like, damn, Bill, I'm paying you like $10 million a year, right? Maybe you rep us with a shirt that has not been destroyed by moths. I'm not even saying he's got to go with that thing that Kraft does where he mismatches his collar with his dress shirt. I've got one of those in my closet that I always look at it and I never want to wear it because I just don't get it. And then every once in a while, I'll break it out here to see if any of you say anything. I've got one of those. That's all Kraft has. But even that's better than that moth-eaten shirt that Belichick was wearing. Hey, Hood, your motto is do your job, not don't have a job. Cliff Kingsbury would not dust his living room with that rag you're wearing, Bill. Yeah, and I know. Those of you who want to defend him are saying he's just sending a message. He's sending a message to his players, and the message is, game week, go time. Yeah, why don't you save that? What player is going to see that horrible look and say, hell yes, lock it in, go time, look at coach? Like, I hate to drag Adam Gase again, and I don't want to make this all about him, and there is another take about him later on, but you know, Adam's eyes were bugging right out of his head when he saw that look from Belichick. And let me get in front of this right now. I know what you're thinking before you think it. That's how well I know you, clones. Yes, he looks like he slept in his car. No, he is not without a home. He has made a lot of money over the years. I'm sure that he's not using day-old muffins as buzzers to play Family Feud. So that means I do not want to hear any of the following from you clones. War Belichick using two croissants as earmuffs. War Belichick using shrimp is a Bluetooth. Like, I know that sweatshirt is hideous, but there's no way that Belichick is spending time during game week hollowing out blocks of Swiss cheese in order to wear Crocs. He's definitely not rolling with a fortune cookie for his money clip. He's not using a pizza box as a briefcase. He's not using a slice of pizza as a necktie. Nor is he using a Tic Tac box as an iPhone 4 or an Etch-a-Sketch as an iPad. If he wants to review plays, he'll do it on a tablet, morons. It's a terrible look. He should do something about it, but he won't. And it's probably only going to get worse. So we've got that going for us, which is pretty nice. I mean, that would have been less egregious if he just came in topless. Better to have no shirt on than wear that shirt. Like, if the Jets were a t-shirt, Bill is wearing it.
What difference does it make?
To you, none. Bucket Mabin tweets, does Alvin DeLauro have more vacation days than kids? Yes. Yes, and that's saying something, isn't it? Because he's got a hell of a lot of kids, man. My man's got a litter. Dear Rome, did Janu say the Publix donuts are better than Krispy Kreme? Does he also like Pasquale's Pizza better than Pizza Hut? Makes no sense. Jeremiah in Greenville.
Train, planes, and automobiles. You better have my donuts.
Mike and LFK tweets, the weight room is free. Signed, Jim Bro, who never re-racks his weights. Dear Jim, I'm Doc, on holiday. Signed, the 3-1 bum, Doc Rivers. Brett and Bugaha, even though I cracked them hard the other day, they're still skating. The Clippers are getting away with murder. They really are. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so I know this guy. And I know his topic. And I know where he's going with this topic. Because I know the story. And yet, I still want to hear all of this. Let's go to Southeast Wisco. Chris in Southeast Wisconsin. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, Jim. How you doing today, buddy?
Good, dude. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. Say, I just wanted to touch on a topic real quick today for you and the clones. I'm so glad to hear you give Tyler Hero, a.k.a. the Boy Wonder, some tick on your show. In spite of that geriatric hillbilly in the Houston area, referencing Southeastern Wisco as a bunch of losers, which I will address in more detail at a later date, I'm glad that the nation and the world now was introduced to Tyler Hero on the NBA's biggest stage. Jim, Hero comes from a small Division II high school in Southeastern Wisco. He has played against the best players in the nation since he was a sophomore in high school, and despite being double and triple teamed during his ascent to the top, he dominated and never backed down. As an original commit to the University of Wisconsin and an overlooked four-star high school prospect, late in the recruiting process, Coach Cal made an appearance in Southeastern Wisco to personally offer Hero every high school basketball player's dream, a full ride to UK. When he accepted, legions of dirtbag social media clowns immediately took a run at the then 17-year-old kid, sending him death threats on Twitter and wishing harm to him and his family. This did not rattle the battle-hardened Southeastern Wisco prodigy. It motivated him, Jim. Imagine if he had buckled to the pressure and stayed home to play at UW. Chances are he'd be living in some cramped dorm, going to classes online, and ordering Jimmy John's sandwiches every day. Although UW is a great school, I think for a young man with aspirations to play in the NBA, it was smart to go play for Coach Cal and be pushed to the max. It maxed Tyler's potential, and he parlayed that into a lottery pick, making millions living and playing in Miami and doling out buckets by the bunches against the best players in the world. And all the bitter Madison and Wisco degenerates that didn't support our very own and spewed such disgusting hatred, get some, boys. Hero is on his way to being a star at 20 years old. Let it sink in and continue to marinate in your bitterness. Your lives are not changing. His has. War the Big Blue Nation dominating in the bubble. War Hawk considering entering Tour de France 2021. And last, Jim, but not least, Unwar, babysitting callers that don't have the self-control to stay sober while waiting on hold. Deuces, Jim.
Rack him. That was at least three shots at Jerome without mentioning him by name. And then promising he will get to that a little bit later on, but that's not the purpose of his call. He wanted to call and talk about Tyler Hero. I said that I know what this call is going to be about because I know that story. And he actually went the other way with it. I thought that he maybe would fall in line with a lot of other Wisconsin fans that are really unhappy to see Tyler Hero doing what he's doing, because the way he told that story was accurate. He was a commit to Wisconsin. He was from Milwaukee. It's what he dreamed, like everybody in his position would dream of, going to Madison. And then Cal comes in and swoops right in and gets him to go to UK. And Wisconsin fans not happy about that. Now, we're a part of that Badger family now. I am now a part of the Badger family. I went to UC Santa Barbara, but our oldest son, Jake, is now a sophomore at UW. And I've spent a lot of time on campus. I've spent a lot of time around those programs, including the basketball program. So I know a lot of the fans. And a lot of the fans are not happy to see this kid killing it. Kid's amazing. He's amazing. He's a rookie. I don't care where he's from. I don't care where he committed to. I don't care where he ended up. Regardless, rookies do not do that. Rookies do not show up like that. Rookies do not play like that. Not on that stage. This kid is utterly fearless and unflappable. And again, I want to make this point. That's not just a case of a kid who can shoot it, who got hot and they found him. This is a guy who was second on the team in rebounds, throwing off dimes, Euro-stepping, knocking down open looks, cutting to the basket. There's nothing that this kid's not doing right now. And he's all about the right stuff. I thought Eric Spoelstra's quote about him also was really telling, that he's got this amazing work ethic. It's not like he just showed up and here he is. This guy had an up-and-down year. He went through a lot of different things. He had a lot of challenges, but he kept coming in here every single day, grinding out and getting better every single day. Again, the Heat culture. The Heat are unbelievable at identifying guys that fit into what they want to do. Again, only one guy on this team taken in the top 10. They're now one game away from the conference finals. On paper, quote, there's no way they should be where they are right now. Insert cliche, but they don't play those games on paper, do they? Quote, the little guy had 37. It's a bam. The little guy. The little guy is 6'6". All right, so Chris already has a golden ticket. Is his streak now like 8 for 8? I think that guy's been racked like 7 or 8. All right, y'all on the other side of the glass, you've got to get right and get on the same page. See what I mean about you, Ritt? Dude, you are way too confident for a guy of your skill set. I don't know whether or not I really admire that or I really hate that. Because when you get that confident, you start saying things that aren't true. Ritt's like, 7, 7. Finally. Why 7? You know who the hell I am? I'm Ritt.
Mark it down. That's an H.
I don't know, Ritt. I really think it's 8. You can think what you want, old man. Boss, it's 7. Ooh. Why, Garrett? Why is it 7? Because I said so. Hawk says 8. Ritt says 7. I think it's 8. Either way, at worst, Chris in Southeast Wisco has been racked 7 straight times. At best, 8. Hey, Stucknut, I got something for you to look up. What is the record for most consecutive racked calls on this show? James Kelly, do you have a take on that? I mean, I could point to Brad or Left, but Brad's called 8 times in 8 years. I mean, I guess maybe. And then sometimes Brad even will fall on the sword, and even during the smack-off. So Brad may not even have that record. All right, with that in mind, short timeout. Clones, I got a question for you. An important question. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so good, and why does Ritt have all of it on his desk? Because there's something to be said for a family business that stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. I've spoken directly to the family. I know what they're about. I know how much it means to them. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not, in fact, the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper, where you can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they only use the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite. Old Trapper jerky comes in four mouth-watering flavors: old-fashioned with a hint of brown sugar sweetness, teriyaki, peppered, and for those who need a little more zing, hot and spicy. It's chock full of good protein to satisfy even your manliest hunger cravings and to provide real sustained energy. Old Trapper is just a better way to snack. Make Old Trapper part of your weekly grocery list. Keep a good supply on hand for you and your family. And if you do not see it, be sure to ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Have a good day. It's always a good day. Shaq Barrett, Tampa Bay Bucks linebacker, joins me in about 15 minutes. All right, so really quickly, you've heard it before, right? That the NFL is better when the Raiders are good. And that's true. It just is. No one needs the West Coast Jets or the Sin City imitation of the Detroit Lions. We've got enough bad football teams without the silver and black pulling up a table in the basement. So it's no surprise that in this very young NFL season, already it's more compelling than it's been because the Raiders are out quickly. It just is more interesting when the Raiders are playing good football. They're 2-0. They beat the Panthers, and they had a really impressive win over the Saints on Monday Night Football from the brand new Death Star. Now it's heat check time. I mean, I can even argue that it was going into that game against the Saints. But now we're talking 2-0, a win over the Saints. Are they really that good? Or are they just that hot? Heat check time, because the autumn wind is blowing east for the dreaded early game in Foxborough against the Pats. And even though we're not exactly sure how good the Pats are, Vegas has a pretty good idea. Vegas has got the Raiders as 6-point dogs, which now all of a sudden has become kind of a weird thing to say, right? Because that's where they play. That's their town. That's their home base. The town in which the Raiders play and represent is the same town setting the line and predicting their loss, which is something that's going to take a little getting used to, right? I mean, for the longest of times, we all assumed they would never, ever have pro sports in Vegas, because you couldn't, right? How can you set the lines right there and take money? And then what do you know? The NHL is there. The NFL is there. Who knows? Who knows when it stops? The point is this. You're going to be hard-pressed to find anybody outside of Raider Nation who has the Raiders winning that game. So it would be an enormous statement for Gruden and crew to not only get to 3-0, coming off a couple of losing seasons, but to do so by going on the road, making that trip back east, and doing the Pats in their house, even if fans aren't there. Speaking of Gruden, this guy is still a walking, talking quote machine. And 2 weeks in, he's already had a season's worth of audio gems. Check out him describing Saints QB Taysom Hill from last Saturday.
You know, in my lifetime, I don't remember a quarterback that can throw and run read options and then line up at tight end. He's a great football player. He's a football player. This guy's a football player. He can play anywhere on the football field. You know, you just can't prepare for him for anything. He's a football player.
In case you had trouble interpreting what he was saying or making sense of that, I'm here to help. Taysom Hill is a football player.
He's a great football player.
And you know where he plays? on a football field.
This guy's a football player.
And you know why that is?
He can play anywhere on the football field.
Do you know why he plays on a football field? Because he's a football player. Before that, there was week one when Derek Carr used Gruden's wife's name to audible.
Hey, Cindy Gruden, Tiger Woods.
Cindy Gruden, Tiger Woods.
Cindy Gruden, Tiger Woods. By all reports, Gruden and Carr are fine. They're getting along great this season. But anytime a man hears his wife's name come out another man's mouth, things can get weird. And I'm not sure that Gruden liked that very much.
Derek used my wife's name in one of his audibles. Still trying to figure out why Cindy Gruden came up during the game. I got to look into that. So I don't know what he's been up to at the line of scrimmage, but better keep my wife out of it from now on.
Good point, man. Good point. Hard to blame him. One thing to hear your wife's name from another man, entirely another to hear it in the same sentence as Tiger Woods, the world's most notorious serial philanderer. That'd be Ben, too. And then there was this. When Gruden heard that the brand new $2 billion shiny black Vegas stadium was being referred to as the Death Star.
I think it's a cool name for our stadium. I don't give a damn about Star Wars. That's what we're calling our stadium.
You gotta love Gruden making sure everybody knows that he does not give a damn about Star Wars. Football guy has to always let it be known that football guy only cares about football. Football. Gruden doesn't have time to be bothered with nerd movies or pop culture or the fact that the Death Star was blown to a million pieces by the enemy just a few minutes into that film because, quote, it's a cool name and I don't give a damn about Star Wars. So 2 weeks in, this guy's already filled up the sound library with gold. And he's keeping the streak going heading into week three because he told ESPN, in regards to the quarterback they're playing on Sunday, quote, I haven't seen many guys walk through my doors like Cam Newton. I call him Slam. Slam Newton. That's his nickname. He's a power forward playing quarterback, end quote. Oh, dude. Boom! Mind blown. He went there. Give this guy a newspaper headline writing gig. The best minds in the world could never come up with that. Slam Newton? Slam. Instead of Cam. Get it? Because he's big and he slams into defenders. That is incredible. What, Bam Newton didn't want any of that? Ram Newton was too busy to jump in? Wham Newton was above that. Zam doesn't work. Quote, I call him Slam. Slam Newton. Taysom Hill is a football player on a football field. Cannot believe how creative and insightful Slam Newton instead of Cam Newton is. Personally, I love it, man. Gruden is in his element. He's out here glossing dudes with super obvious rhyming nicknames. Let's just hope that Squash Jacobs can squash the Pats defense. And that Derek Farr can get vertical and connect on some deep routes far down the field. Because I'm here to say the NFL is better when the Raiders are better. And I'm here for Vegas being better. Just like I'm here for John Gruden going all John Gruden into a microphone.
He's a great football player. He's a football player. This guy's a football player. He can play anywhere on the football field.
In the National Football League, Shaq Barrett's a football player. And he's coming up next. Stay tuned. First.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, the show off of air is always better than the show on air. And the show on air is pretty damn good. What's up? Welcome back. All right, if you're on hold, stay there. If you're not on hold, I've got a phone line open. This number is good in the United States. It's good in Canada. It's good on the moon. It's good on Jupiter. 1-800-636-8686. As promised, we're joined right now by a linebacker for the Tampa Bay Bucks. Not only that, he is a Super Bowl champ. He is a Pro Bowler. He is an All-Pro. The NFL leader in sacks last season with 19.5. He had 5 tackles in Sunday's win over Carolina. 8 tackles. 1 pass defense for the year. Undrafted back in 2014 out of Colorado State. And you got Tampa Bay at Denver on Sunday. Shaq Barrett joins us. Shaq, good to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Jim?
Good, good, man. Good to talk to you. Listen, week one may not have gone the way you would have liked. So how fired up were you heading into the game against Carolina? And how good did it feel to make it right?
Oh, yeah, most definitely didn't. But we just took that fire that we had from that week one and used it in practice and used it the whole entire week until Sunday and just let it come out. And we just got the job done. And everybody stepped up and made the plays needed to get the job done.
You know, I think with good reason, Shaq, everybody's talking about the offense, but I want to talk to you about the defense, of course. You forced 4 turnovers. You had 5 sacks. You came up huge in the second half to make sure that you guys got that win. How would you describe the mentality and the attitude of this year's defense?
It's similar to the end of last year defense. We fixing the communication problems that we had last year. So, like, coming in, like, pretty much we shouldn't be no problems. So we fixed them problems. We worked on our leverage problems. You know, still going to be stuff here and there, like misfits or mental errors every once in a while. So that's the things we got to make sure we fix and eliminate. But right now, we feel as though we could be as good as we want to be as long as we keep that same mindset and mentality every week.
Shaquille Barrett joining us. Mindset, mentality. That's everything right there. Like, you led the league in sacks last season, as I mentioned. And then Jason Pierre-Paul added 8.5 sacks in 10 games last year. He's talked about what he's learned from watching you. Let me turn that thing on its head. What have you learned from watching him, and what's it like playing with him?
Oh, it's amazing playing with JPP. He got a lot of energy, and he's really good at what he does. And what I learned from him is just, like, the way he his pass rushing, like, his counter underneath move is amazing. I love it. And then I'm trying to still work on that to get that into my game. But I love his underneath move when he throw the tackle up the field and come underneath. It's like, it's perfect because you don't need somebody to cover you because you can still have outside contain still, but you still could come underneath and get a direct line to the quarterback.
Yeah, Shaq, I would say the numbers speak for themselves, but I'm not sure they do. And here's where I'm going with this. The two of you combined for 28 sacks last year. And you didn't even play a full year together, but when people talk about the best pass-rushing combos in the league, for some reason, you guys do not always come up. Why do you think that is, and how much does that bother you?
I think it's because we didn't win anything. They just, like, give it to the people in the playoffs and who's doing a good job of and actually getting wins and helping that team win, even though we did the same thing, but we didn't win enough games. And, I mean, and then, no, it don't bother me because we know what we all have to offer. And y'all, not y'all, but they will see it soon enough or come around soon enough. But we just got to keep grinding, keep our heads down, eyes up, and keep making plays out there. Help our team get wins.
Shaq Barrett joining us. And then again, Shaq, people who know. Like, one of the things that guys around the league talk about when they watch you is how quick you are off the ball. Is that like, is that just a gift, or is that something you study and work on? How do you explain that quickness, that explosiveness right off the ball?
It's something that I study and work on. I just use whatever keys I could find watching film and then just trusting and believing it. It's pretty much just trusting what I've been saying on film and looking at the play clock. I know that the ball has to be snapped at around a certain time. I know they hold it a little bit long on third downs, and I pretty much react off of that. I try to anticipate it instead of seeing the ball go, then going. Try to go as soon as the ball go. Or a little before.
Shaq Barrett joining us. I feel you. All right, so it's your second year working with D coordinator Todd Bowles. When you and I spoke earlier this year, we talked a little bit about him. How would you describe his system and the way you fit into that system?
I think his system is perfect for everybody. It's built for everybody to make plays, everybody to be playmakers. And then once he do have, like, specific people who's, like, shining, he adds a little bit more for you to shine a little bit more. And I think he's a brilliant defensive coordinator. He knew exactly what needed to be fixed last year, this year, and he's telling us what it is, and we're getting it done. And when we're not getting it done, he makes sure he let us know that it's unacceptable. And, like, even though we won last week, like, it was like the way we played in the second half of the second quarter, I mean, in the third quarter and the fourth quarter was unacceptable, and he let us know that. He knew we could be a really good defense, and that's what they expect out of us.
Yeah, see, and the thing is, Shaq, about his system, it seems to me like not only do you focus on rushing the passer, he's going to make sure, as you point out, you have to do the other things. You've got to stop the run as well. A lot of guys in your position or a lot of guys who lead the league in sacks might say, hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. This is what they pay me to do. Don't make me do other things. It's not my focus, but that's not the way you approach it. How important is it to you to be impacting the game in as many ways as possible and not just rushing the quarterback?
Oh, it is really important because some games you won't get sacks, but I still want to be able to impact the game to let everybody know that Shaquille Barrett played that day or I played that day. So it might have to be some TFLs or some PBUs or something like that. And if I'm lucky, an interception, then in the right place because I do get to drop every once in a while. So I just want to help my team win. I want to be well-rounded. I don't want to be a one-trick pony. So I want to be able to excel at all aspects of outside linebacker, defense end.
All right, so another big one coming up this weekend. You're getting ready for the Broncos, which, of course, means a trip back to your old stomping grounds in Denver. What's that like for you? Are you going to tell me that that is just another game, or does it feel a little bit different because that's where you started your career?
I literally treat it like another game, but it still will be a little bit different. It will be a little bit, like, more, like, feel a little bit better to be able to play well against them guys because I was there, had the opportunity to still be there, but, like, that fell through. But I'm happy of my opportunity I got in Tampa, and I just want to just shine and just let them know that, like, this the guy that y'all let go.
I think they know, but I know what you're talking about. Shaquille Barrett joining us. When the NFL Top 100 came out, of course, you were on it, and there was this great clip of you telling Matt Ryan, quote, I'm coming for you. And he said, quote, keep coming. And then it cuts to you sacking him. How much trash can you talk on the field, and what's it like when you warn a guy that you're coming for him, and then you go ahead and you get him? Do you remind him of that after the fact? What happened after that clip?
So it feels good to be able to – well, you got to be able to back it up if you're going to say it. So it feels good to be able to just show that I backed it up. And I didn't even see anything because I was frustrated that the ball – I didn't even think he fumbled, but I did. They did say he fumbled, and it, like, bounced right back to him. So I was frustrated because I didn't think he fumbled. And I'm like, man, I got to get that ball out because I want to make, like, the biggest play possible to help the team win. And – so I was frustrated a little bit that the ball didn't come out, even though it did, which I didn't know at that time. But, yeah, I didn't say anything to him after that. But sometimes you just feel it to talk a little bit. But, I mean, talk, yeah, I talk a little bit. It's not a lot. It's not nothing crazy. But I just like I just like talking every once in a while.
I like that. Shaquille Barrett joining us. I mean, it's very clear to me talking to you today, talking to you in the past. I mean, you're about the craft. You are really, really about your craft. And if you have a monster year the way you did last year, then your profile is going to be raised, which means there's going to be a lot more attention. There's going to be a lot more opportunities coming your way. How have you approached that? Do you embrace that as a result of the hard work and something you've earned, or do you try to block all that stuff out?
So, yeah, I'm going to embrace it, but I'm also going to just remember who I am, where I came from, where I started from, and I know there's always been people who supported me out there, but I know there will be more supporters who come. But I'm not going to let it, like, change anything that I do. I will just pretty much stay the same because I really wanted to be even in a conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. And after not getting that last year, I just realized that nobody will ever see you the way that you think you deserve to be seen. So I'm not even trying to work to be noticed or have any notoriety. I just want to just do with my job, help my team win, and whatever comes with it is cool, but I'm not expecting to get anything from it.
I wonder, was that kind of liberating? Like when you finally realized that, you know what, man, they're never going to see it. They're never going to get it. I can't control the way they see it. I mean, did that kind of set you free a little bit?
Yeah, well, it felt good because I used to think like that, like initially, but then I'm like, oh, yeah, I should be getting this. Like, at least be in a conversation for it, at least be a nominee. But after that, like, I was upset about that and just talking. Me and my wife, we talk about stuff, and we just talking, like, yeah, Like, they never, like, people, I don't know what it is, the name or what it, I thought numbers was everything, but I guess it wasn't.
Shaquille Barrett joining us. You know, I wonder about your wife. Like, I remember when I first came up and people would say, like, really terrible stuff about me, and my wife would get really defensive. She'd get fired up, and I'm like, look, this is what we signed up for. You got to take the good with the bad, and you can't control what people think. Like, your wife, how does she fit in? Does she kind of get fired up, like, why aren't you getting that run? Or is she the one who reminds you, like, it's all good? People who know, know. Don't let that get to you.
She's both ways.
Right.
She,
I got you.
She get fired up. Like, she was actually a little fired up. She said she was reading something on the internet today of what some people were saying about me. So she texted me and then called me, was saying, like, she was getting a little upset. But I'm like, yeah, like, that is not what people think it is. It's just, they just going to say it now. And then from here on out, you should be able to say it more clear, and it shouldn't be no debating. And if you just got something to say, like, not, like, it's no making everybody happy. Long as my team happy, we happy. I mean, that's all that matters.
And let's all stay off the internet. It's better that way. All right, one last thought. Tampa Bay is the first NFL team to establish an academic scholarship benefiting graduating female high school football players pursuing a career in sports. You were one of the players involved in presenting the scholarships. What was that like?
Oh, it was amazing to talk to Janae. She was... She was an outstanding athlete, and she has plan on top of plan on top of plan of what she want to do. If nothing works out, like, her plan A don't work, or she got a plan B. That don't work, or she got plan C. Like, yeah, I mean, she's going to have a bright future. Just keep sticking to what she's doing. And, I mean, I'm excited to see it play out for her, because she got her head on right for sure, and she's a great athlete.
What a great cause. Glad to see you doing that, Shaquille. And I think you already know this. Those who know, know. There's no doubt, man. You are a big-time player and talent. Great to have you on the show. Thank you very much. Good luck this weekend.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Appreciate you, Shaquille Barrett. He's a player now, man. If you don't see that, you don't understand football. If you don't see that, and you do understand football, then you're just wrong. Then you're just hating. 1-800-636-8686. When we come back, an open phone third hour. Lots more to get to. Do not go anywhere.